The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In Masechta Chulin, Perek Shiloh HaKan, Dav Kuf Lamed Tes Omed Beis, Moshe min HaTorah minayin. Where do we have remes, a subtle indication in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu? Now, Moshe is mentioned many, many times in the Torah. So Rashi says, Remes Kedem Shabbo, Shesefer Lovay. Where do we have the subtle indication before he came into being? The Gemara brings a posuk. The posuk the Gemara brings is in at the end of Parshas Bereishis. Bereishis Hey. Bereishis Vav Posuk Gimel Vayema Hashem Lo Yodom Ruchi Ba'odem La'ola B'Shagam Hu Basor. The Hoyu Yom of Meiv Esrim Shono, right before the flood, because his Baruch Hu said that he can't, this head cannot carry on forever. He'll have to come to some decision what to do with the world. And man has no respect for him. Bishagom Hu Basor, even though he's flesh and blood. And then it refers that Vahoya Yoma Meav Esrim Shono, and his days is what are 120 years. Bishagom is the gematri, the numerical value of Moshe. And Moshe lived for 120 years. So here we have a remez, a subtle indication of Moshe being mentioned in the Torah before he came into being. Then the Gemara asks, Haman mina Torah minayin? From where do we see an indication of Haman in the Torah? So the Gemara brings a posuk right from the beginning of Bereishis, Bereishis Gimel, posuk Yud Aleph, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Adam and Chava and said, Hamin ha'etz asher tzivisicho levilti achol mimeno acholta. Did you eat from the tree which I commanded you that you shall not eat from? And there is written the word Hamin, from. And Hamin spells Haman. So we see an indication of Haman. Then the Gemara asks, Esther mina Torah mina. Where do we have an indication of Esther in the Torah? And on that the Gemara brings a posuk from Shmeis, Dvorim, Lamed Aleph, and that's by Yilech, Lamed Aleph posuk Yud Ches. Ba'anochi hastir ponai b'yei mahu. The context of those psukim read as follows. We just find them. Mahu b'yei mahu ba'az zaftim b'istarti ponai mehem. There'll be a time when you go into Golus, into exile. And I will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will conceal my face from you, my presence from you. And you will be consumed by the great Soros. You will say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with us anymore. Onochi Aster Astir Ponai Bayema Hu Al Kolo Oro Asheroso. And I will conceal my face from you on those days, in those days, and all of the raw, the evil that you did, kipon elihim achelim, because you turned to other gods. Now, it says twice, Onochi Haster Astir, I will conceal my face. And Haster, the word Aster and Astir spell out Esther, and it means to conceal. And we are referring to two Hastores, two concealments. So this is an indication that there will be a time when there will be a double concealment, and we will find ourselves in great Tzoros. And the Gemara says this will refer to the Tzoros of Haman. Why? Because then we had a double concealment from the hand of Hashem. We had double Tzoros. There was the Tzoros of Ahasuerus, and there was the Tzoros of Haman. You see, Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael with the first Beis HaMikdash, and then the Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel came, destroyed our Beis HaMikdash, and sent us into Golos Bavel. We were there for 70 years, but near the end of the 70 years, Nebuchadnezzar fell, and the empire that ruled the world was the empire of Modai Uparas, the Persian Median Empire. And that started with Koresh, Cyrus the Great, and then this was followed by Daryovash, Daryovash Harishan, Darius, and then Ahasuerus. So we were now subjects to Ahasuerus. So that was one Sora. And then a second Sora was Haman. So it was a double Sora, a double concealment. And therefore, that Posuk, Haster Astir, this is the indication in the Torah of Esther. Then the Gemara goes further. And the Gemara says, Mordechai mina Torah minayin. And where do we have an indication of Mordechai? So on that, the Gemara brings a posuk in Shmos, Parshas Kisiso, Perek Lamed, Posukhov Gimel. There, let's see what the posuk says. There the Torah is telling us about making the besomim, the perfumes and the spices for the Shemen HaMishcha, for the oil of anointment, and for the incense. And it states, V'atokach lecho besomim reish moderor chamesh meyos. Starts out by saying that you shall take these spices, these perfumes, and it refers to them as Rosh. Rosh, Rashi says, Chashuvim. These very, very precious, valuable spices. And the first one that's mentioned is Mordoror. And Mordoror, the Gemara says, is Metargeminon Moridichi. This was the name of the spice. And Moridichi spells out Mordechai. So this is an indication of Mordechai. Why? So Rashi brings in the Gemara here in Chulin, because it refers to him as Besomim. We know Besomim, the perfumes and the incense, this was always a symbol of the Tzaddikim. And then it refers to him as Rosh, someone who would be the head. So this refers to Mordechai, who was the head of the Tzaddikim, of the righteous at that time, and he was the head of the Sanhedrin and the Anshei Knesset Agdola, of the great assembly, of the great courts. Therefore, we know it refers to Mordechai. Perhaps we can add to that that Mordechai also was a Rosh L'Umais. He became a head of nations because he became the viceroy to Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was the king who ruled over Kuvchav Zayin Medina's 127 states, and the Gemara tells us that was Misefer Eilam HaTzefer. At that time, that was the entire world. And Mordechai rose to this position of power. So therefore, this was This is an indication of Mordechai. This is what the Gemara brings here in Masechta Chulin. Now this Gemara is a very strange Gemara for several reasons. Firstly, as stated right to begin with, what are we looking for? The Mosim indications of Moshe in the Torah. The Torah is full of Moshe. The Torah is Teres Meshe, it's his prophecy. Literally dozens and dozens and dozens of times. It says, Vayidaber Hashem al Meshe. Hashem spoke to Meshe. Then, if we're looking for in such indications, and we're looking for the indications of the tzaddikim, of the great righteous people, so why only these? And actually we see that of these that are mentioned here, with the exception of Moshe, they all have to do with Purim. It's Moshe, Mordechai, and Esther. And then further, if we're looking for the indications of the great righteous tzaddikim, so what's Haman doing here? Haman minat er minai. The Maral explains that once a person came into this world and the Torah is speaking about him when he's in this world, then the Torah writes what it wants to about those people if someone manages to get into the Torah. For example, Abraham, once he was born and he walked this world, so the Torah writes about Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Yosef and Moshe and so on. So that's not what the Gemara is looking for. The Gemara is saying that is a person, someone who's very, very great, it is possible that he might be mentioned in the Torah before he walked into this world. And this means that his source from which he developed in this world came from a world which was Bilti Gashmi, a spiritual world. That he was a person that had such a strong spiritual source that his life is mentioned in the Torah, be it even through a subtle indication, before he was physically born in the world and before he became a physical human being. And on that the Gemara says someone like Moshe for sure must have been mentioned in the Torah before coming into this world, because who can be compared to Moshe? Moshe is the one who went up to the heavens and he brought down the entire Torah into this world, and the whole Torah is called Toras Moshe. Is Nevuas Moshe his prophecy? So there's no doubt that the source of Moshe Rabbeinu, his spiritual source, was enormously high and therefore must have found its way somewhere in the Torah before Moshe was born into this world. And then at the Gemara brings a pasuk. What is the explanation of the pasuk? That is another discussion. Alright, good. But now we have another kasha. Immediately after that the Gemara asks, well, so firstly we have a kasha. So then the Gemara asks on Mordechai and Esther. Why Mordechai and Esther? There are other great tzaddikim. But even a greater kasha, greater question is that the Gemara immediately asks after Moshe minator min olam, it asks Haman minator min olam. If you're speaking about people with great spiritual sources that found their way somehow into the Torah even before they were born into this world, so what's the Gemara asking on Haman? And it brings a source of Haman. And then, like we said, on Mordechai and Esther,
The answer to that, the Maral brings, is because Haman also, without a doubt, the Chazal tell us, must have had an enormous source, not from this world, but from higher worlds, to his powers, which he utilized against Klal Yisrael. Because what he plotted to do, and with what he almost succeeded in doing, one could not do with mere human powers, mere powers, physical powers from this world. And he in particular, why do we say that? Because we would understand this if we analyze what did Haman want to do. There are many times in history when Klal Yisrael has been in great danger. Many, many tyrants have stood up against us. In every generation they stand up against us. But all of the times in history, it's been against a segment of the population. Or it's been to La'aviram b'chukei retzonecho, to try to assimilate Klal Yisrael, or to drive them away from Torah and Mitzvahs. But never in history did we face total annihilation, with this exception. Ahasuerus, as we mentioned, ruled over the entire world, which means that every Jew in the world was his subject. Haman plotted, and he came within a hairbreadth of fulfilling it, because he had the weight of the king behind him, who was the mightiest king in the world at that time, and one of the mightiest kings ever to walk on this earth. Lahashmid, lahareg, ulabed, es kol ha-yehudim, to destroy every Jew, minar v'ad zoken, taf v'noshim, old and young, women and children, b'yei me'echor, and one day, u'shlolom l'vais, and to take the spoils. And he had the signature of the king on the document. And he would have succeeded had it not been for the intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara brings in Masechet Megillah, and it brings the Kapitel Tillim from Dovid HaMelech, Kuf Chof Dalet, Lule Hashem Shohayalonu Bikum Aleinu Odom. The Gemara refers to Haman as an Odom, a man, and it says that Lule Hashem Shohayalonu, if not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was with us at that time, when that man rose up against us, we would be here no more. And the Maral goes further. If he had succeeded, then there wouldn't have been any more Klal Yisrael. If there was no Klal Yisrael, there would be no Torah. Actually, this is what Mordechai said, because when Esther commanded that everyone should fast 3 days, this was right before Pesach, and came the question, how can we fast on Pesach? What's with matzah? There's an obligation, min haTorah, to eat matzah. And Mordechai said, Imein Yisrael ain Torah. If there's going to be no Yisrael, there's going to be no mitzvah, no one to fulfill mitzvahs anyhow. And therefore they fasted. So, if there was no Yisrael, there was no Torah. If there was no Torah, the Chazal tell us, then there would be no world. Because Ma'achzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eitzu Kol HaUmeis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to all of the nations to offer his Torah. And he said, that if no one will accept his Torah, then Mark said, Ani Yesa Olam Leteya Vavoyhu, I will return the world to emptiness and to voidness. He said, Yom HaShishi, after the 6 days of creation, he made a condition that the world will stand if Klal Yisrael will receive the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan. But if not, if no one will accept Torah, there can't be a world. So Haman plotted not only to annihilate every Jew in the world, but to destroy the world. And he came within a hair breadth of succeeding. Now, how is it possible that someone is a creation from this world, he's part and parcel of this world, and he's capable of destroying it? This is something that's not possible. If you're a byproduct of something, you cannot destroy it. And therefore the Chazal said that his source of this enormous power didn't come from this world. It came from an upper world. And it must be mentioned in the Torah before he walked into this world. Let's see if we could find out where. This was the Gemara's question. Homa mina Torah minayin. And the Gemara brings that posuk. Now, what we learn from here, that what Moshe was, the power of good, Haman was in the power of evil. Evil also has a greatness to it, has a magnificence to it, except Zelah Tov and Zelah Ra. One is used for good and one is used for evil. And this is what the Gemara wanted to know. Now we could ask still another question. And that is, why did the Gemara ask Haman minatera minai? Where do we find an indication to Haman? Why didn't the Gemara ask Esav minatera minai? Where do we find an indication to Esav? Because Haman is a descendant of Esav. Esav was the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael. This was Yaakov's brother. Halacha she'Esav seina es Yaakov. There was great, great hatred between Esav and Yaakov. And Haman came from the generations of Esav. He was a descendant of Agog. Agog was the king of Amalek. Amalek was a grandson, was the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esav. So the source was Esav, and didn't lack Esav anything when it came to destructive powers. He was the father of Edom, the Malchus Arvis, the fourth empire, which is the greatest of the empires of the Goyim. And from here came the great Roman Empire. And they were so great that when Yaakov fell asleep and he had his dream, and he dreamt that Sulam Butzavarza Varesha Magiela Shemaima, and the ladder was going up, and the angels were going up and down in the Pirkei Reblezer, it states that he saw the angel of each empire go up so many steps and then fall down. But by Esav they went up, and he couldn't see them anymore. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do not fear, Ani Oridem, I will bring him down, even if they go up as high as an eagle. So from there we see the power of Esav. So why didn't the Gemara ask that? The answer to that is because Haman was worse than Esav. Open the curtain. That Haman was worse than Esav. And why do we say that? Haman was the Reish LaAmalek. He was the epitome of Amalek, the one who reached the greatest heights, or if you want to call it depths, of this evilness. And he was worse than his grandfather Esav. Firstly, we do not find on any nation except Amalek that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed Mechia Gemura, like we read this past Shabbos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that once you're in a position to do so, you must totally annihilate them from the face of the earth. He wants no zecher, not even a remembrance of them left. And from here we see, this means there was not any goodness in Haman or in his nation at all. Because if there was some, then why should we annihilate them totally? Let's take that goodness from them. And we see, therefore, there won't be any tshuva, there won't be any repentance. By Esav, we see that he fulfilled mitzvahs. The fact is, the Midrash brings that when Yaakov in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov was going back to meet Esav, he was afraid of Esav. Vayira, and the Midrash asks why, and it says because he was afraid that of the mitzvahs that Esav had fulfilled. Esav was great in kibud av, in taking care of his father. Esav was fulfilling the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, and he said, "This is a schus, this is a merit," and he was afraid of that. We see that when Yaakov hid Dinah, his daughter, in order that Esav should not be attracted to her and want to marry her, he was punished for it. Why? Mona chesed lo achich. He withheld chesed from his brother because she could have made a good person out of him. So we see it was possible to make a good person out of Esau and for him to do tshuva. But in Homo or in Amalek, we do not find any good whatsoever. The fact is, how can there be any good in someone? How can there be any tshuva in someone if he's plotting to destroy the world? And this was Amalek. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. The Layor Elekim, they have totally no fear from me whatsoever. They have no recognition for me whatsoever. Yod Al Keskor, that my hand, I raise my hand over my throne, that my name is not in totality, or my throne is not in totality as long as Amalek is in the world. Milchama dor v'dor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wages war against them forever. And we see from the Gemara that they are the obstacle for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The building of the Beis HaMikdash represented the ultimate goodness in the world, the Shleimus of Bracha. The Gemara brings in Sanhedrin that when we are Zeicher for the Melech HaMashiach to come, so first we have to appoint him as a king, then we have to make war against Amalek, and then we can build the Beis HaMikdash. But as long as Amalek is in the world, we cannot build a Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is what brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name into the world, and Amalek wants to destroy this and drive it out of the world. So therefore, and also there's another point. The Gemara brings a Masechet Megillah on Haman. It states, Bikum Lule Hashem Shohoyalonu Bikum Aleinu Odom. If not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was with us when a Odom, a man, stood up against us. The Gemara brings this, refers to Haman, and then it states, Odom Velei Melech. He was a man and not a king. What does the Gemara mean? So the Gemara explains, Esav was a king. You see, great kings and empires came from him. Haman was more dangerous because he was not a king, he was a man. Why? Because a king wants to conquer, but he wants to be the king. You cannot be a king unless you have a world. You cannot be a king over nothing. The greatness of the king is dependent on the quality and on the value of his followers and nations. Berev am hadris melech. You're a king over a little village, or you're a king over a great empire. And therefore a king, he just wants control, but he's not going to annihilate the people. Had Haman been a king, we would not have been in such danger. We find the other kings, they might have made us subjects, they might have given us swords, they might have enslaved us, but not to annihilate us. Haman being an Odom, v'lei melech, he was not interested. He was not interested in ruling a world, he was interested in destroying a world. This shows further the depth of the evilness in Haman and in Amalek. So therefore, the Gemara is bothered, a strength to be able to almost destroy all of Israel and the whole world. That cannot be a byproduct of this world. And therefore there must be some indication to such a spiritual source in the Torah before Haman walked into this world. Therefore, Minayin, where does it come from? And now we can understand what the Gemara's questions were after that. Because once it asks about Haman, so now we have to know where do the parallel powers come from that were able to be menatzeach, to overcome Haman. Mordechai v'Esther. Because it was through Mordechai v'Esther, the schus of Mordechai v'Esther, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened. So therefore, it asked Haman, where do we find the source for Mordechai Minolan and Esther Minolan? What is the Gemara answer? Where does this source come from? By Haman. The Gemara brings the following pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came into the garden, Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, and he realized that Adam and Chava ate from the tree which was known as the Eitz Hadas Tevara, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Vayeman mihi gid lecha ki eram oto. And he said, who told you they were hiding because they were ashamed, they were naked? Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the tree which I commanded you not to eat from? This is where we see the word Haman, Hamin. So here, the Gemara is saying that we find the indication of Haman. Hamino ate right by the tree which they were commanded not to eat from. What was this tree? A little before in the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu states, this is in Beis Tezayin, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Odom Lemor. No, first it states in Tez, Vayatzmach Hashem Elokim min Adoma kol Eitz Nechmod Lemare Tev Lemachol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this Gan Eden, and he planted in the Gan Eden beautiful, beautiful trees, Ve'Eitz HaChaim B'Seich HaGon, and in the middle he planted an Eitz HaChaim, Eitz Hadas Tevaroth. And then he planted the Eitz Hadas Tevaroth. Rashi brings Etzachayim be'emtza. Etzachayim was in the middle. And then Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Odom lemor. Hashem commanded the Odom saying, "Mikol Etz Hagan ochol techel. You can eat from all of the trees of the garden. Ume Etz Hadas tevero. But from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, leisechal mimenu. You shall not eat from. Ki biyom achol chumimenu boshtamush. Because on the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." What do we see from here? We see that this tree was the source of mavus, the source of death. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Death was not part of the world. He said you can eat from all of the trees of the garden, but not from this tree. If you eat from this tree, then you will surely die. Death was introduced into the world only when they ate from that tree. But prior to this, death was not part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. And bidinu, it's logical, it's rational, because the creation which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, this was a creation of life. In fact, as he created the world with a beis, Bereishis Bara Elokim. And the Medrash says, why beis? Because beis is brocha. Beis is brocha. And brocha means growth. So the essence of the creation was brocha, was growth. Only something which is alive can grow. Something which is not alive doesn't grow. The essence of the creation was life. The source of the creation, Medrash says, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was with the Aleph, when he revealed himself to Klal Yisrael, and he said, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God." He gave them the Torah. This was the Aleph. And the Torah is called an Eitz Chaim Hilamachazikim Bo. It's a source of life. So if the creation was the essence of brocha, of growth, and it was coming from the Torah, which was the source of life, how could there be death? How could death be part and parcel of the creation? It wasn't. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochol Techel." You can eat from all of the trees. The Pirkei of the Reb Lezer states that what was the Eitz HaChayim B'Teich Hagan, the Eitz HaChayim in the middle, that was the Torah. Ki Eitz HaChayim Hi L'Machzikim Bo. The Torah is known as a tree of life. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he gave life, an unending life. And this tree was not part. And that's why he commanded man not to eat from it. When they ate from it, this tree was the source of mavus, of death. They brought death into the world. This was its power. So this tree, actually then, was the power of death. The Malach HaMavus came into the world through this. Now we can start to understand a bit what the Gemara is saying. Where did Haman get his power from? Haman's power came from a very, very high source. Hamin ha'etz. From that tree which I commanded you not to eat from. That power of mavus, of death. And therefore he had the desire to destroy Kol Yisrael and bring death to the world. And he almost did so. And this was Amalek. And now we can understand also why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed on Haman and on Amalek Mechia Gemurah, total annihilation, because they have no part in his world. His world was not a world which had death in it. And therefore he said, in the days to come, Mochai Timche Ezecher Amalek, destroy them completely, they have no part in my world. If we go a little further into this, we see that actually that tree had a helper. It had a medium of how it was brought into the world, and that was the Nochash, the serpent, and that was through the power of Lashon Hara, because it states that the Nochash came, the serpent, and he asked the woman, can you eat from all of the trees? And she said, yes, we can eat from all of the trees except this tree, and if we do, we will die. The serpent said, you will not die. So why did Hashem say that you shouldn't eat from it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to eat from it, because on the day that you do, you will have knowledge of good and evil, and you will be like God himself, and you can create your own worlds. Therefore he doesn't want you to eat from it. But not that he's telling you you shouldn't eat from it for your own good. The Nochash, the serpent, slandered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and with his slander he seduced the Isha to eat from the tree, and he managed to bring the Malach HaMoves, the Keach HaMisa, the power of death, into the world. This was the Nochash, and it was through Lashon Hara. It's an interesting to note that Haman also used Lashon Hara to manage to get the king to sign his decree to destroy all of Israel. In Megillas Esther, it states in Perigimel, Pasuk Ches, Shomar LaMelech, Haman said to the king, Yeshna Am Echad, Mefuzer Mefeded Beinu Amit. You should know that you have a nation in your empire which is different. It's spread out, it's scattered between all of the nations. Doseim Shenis Mikol Am. They are different from all other peoples in all other nations. Their laws are different, their customs are different. Ves Dosea Abelech Enamaisim. And they do not keep the statutes of the king. Balamelech Ein Shevel Anichom. And therefore it's not worthy for the king to keep them. Give them over to me so I may kill them. Haman used the role of the Nochash, of the serpent, and his Lashon Hara to bring this tree, to bring the Moves into the world. It's also worthy to note that when Esther wanted to describe who her enemy was to Ahasuerus, and then when she reveals who was her great Soria, she says as follows, Ish Tsar Ve'oyev. He's a man who's a great enemy and threat to us. Homon Hora Hazeh. She had no other words to describe him except Hora. Just like Hora is the opposite from Tov. Just like the word Tov means something which is good in totality. Gemara says the word Tov is used very sparingly. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Vayar Hashem Ki Tov, he saw was good. He called the Torah Tov. Lekach Tov Dosati Lochem. I am giving you merchandise which is Tov, which is good. Moshe was called Tov. Israel was called Tov. Ra is just the opposite. Something which is Kulara, totally evil. And this is how she referred to Haman. Haman Hora Hazeh. And Lashon Hara is also referred to that. It's Lashon Hara. Because Lashon Hara, evil slander, is totally evil. And the serpent also, we find, because it states that in the world to come, all of the animals, miskapses kol hachayis, all of the animals will come together, and they will all point to the serpent, and they will say, "Manishtanu, why are you different than all other animals?" Because all other animals, they will bite, they will kill to eat. They have something from it. They're not hungry, they won't kill. You kill for the sake of killing. In other words, you are total destructive. You are destructive. You are the totality of evil. And the serpent will answer. He'll say, "Why are you asking me? You find the same power by man with his Lashon Hara." See, here we see this is the power of total evil. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech said. He said, "Hamoves biyad haLashon." That we find that the power of death is in the tongue. Now, we can't imagine how true that is, because besides all of the thousands or millions of individual cases where people could cause death with his lashon, with his tongue, the serpent brought death to the world with his tongue, and Haman almost brought death to the world with his tongue. So what the Gemara is saying is that for an individual to try to do something like this, to want to do something, and to almost succeed in doing it without the intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is not a human power. This is not a human power. This is something which doesn't come from this world. And therefore the Gemara wanted to know, where does it come from? And it comes from the Eitz Hadas Tevara, that tree. We could with this understand a enormous historical episode which many of us still remember because we were alive at that time, which is almost non-understandable, and that was the Holocaust. I read an article not long ago that in 1995 was the 50th anniversary of the Holocaust, and therefore a great deal of literature came out on it. And one historian mentioned, but actually many did, that this is something that seems not to go away. And at that time there were more movies and documentaries and books and literature coming out on the German nation, the Nazis, that man, and everything that took place. And they asked the question, usually things are forgotten about. Why, if someone had personal injury from it, but the whole world is not forgetting about it. And one wrote the answer. There were various philosophies and ideologies and so forth. And one wrote an answer. He says, "I'll tell you why the world hasn't forgotten about it." He says, "When we have a problem and we find a solution, right, then we put it behind us. The world had a problem. How could something like this take place in a so-called civilized world? The premeditated cool, calculated murder, annihilation of millions upon millions upon millions of people, not only Jews. And he said, we have never answered the question. And because we have never answered the question, that's why it's not being forgotten. It's the same question comes up and it still bothers us. This is what he wrote. And this possibly is the real answer to why it hasn't been forgotten. And the answer to that question is what the Gemara is writing. Wasn't a human power. Wasn't a just another person. Hitler was Misera Esav, and in particular Misera Amalek. And he was reliving Haman's role. Can anyone explain why did Haman want to annihilate a whole nation? It can't be explained, except through the Chazal. You cannot explain it in human terms. Because that source of power did not come from the human world. That source of power came from Amin HaEitz, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created never to be part of this world and was brought into this world. That power is in this world and it manifested itself through Amalek and Haman and through his descendants. And that's exactly what Hitler did. Hitler stopped only because others stopped him, only because of the intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Had there been no intervention, he would have gladly carried on and on and on. And Hitler even achieved his ends through Lashon Hara. All of the history books write that he was preparing the German nation, or they were preparing themselves for years ahead with all of the poison literature that they were poisoning Klal Yisrael and other such nations. His propaganda. And Hitler, we find, was Odom Vele Melech, Yekum Aleinu Odom. He liked to style himself after the Caesars because he came from Esav also. Stoically they write that he looked at himself as another Roman Caesar. But he was not a king. He was in no ways a king. And the proof of the pudding is because many times his high command wanted to assassinate him because he was placing more importance on his obsession of annihilating Jews and other such people than on gaining strategic grounds of control of the world. A king wouldn't have been interested in that annihilation. The king would want control. Ein melech b'rayam. This is Bekum Aleinu Odom. So this is what the Gemara tells us on Haman. This perhaps could be the meaning of the Pasuk in Parshas Bullock, Chof Dalet Chof. This was the prophecy of Bilam. Bayares Amalek, Reishis Goyim Amalek. Bilam referred to Amalek as Reishis Goyim Amalek, the beginning of all of the Goyim. Perhaps he was referring that their origin is already in the Reishis, in the very beginnings of the world, from the Eitz Hadas. Now, we go further. The Gemara asks, if that's the case, so Esther Minateira Minayim. Esther and Mordechai are the ones that overpowered him. Where did they get their source of power from? And the Gemara brings Haste Aster, Now the word aster means to conceal. Here I'm going to be very brief, because last year we gave an entire shir on Esther. So let us just make a few brief remarks here. And the word Esther means to conceal. The Gemara brings that in general we find that Esther was someone who was very concealed. States that she was from the seed, a descendant of Shaul, King Saul, who was a person who was also kept himself low profile and concealed, and who came from Rachel, who also was someone who was very concealed. It brings out she concealed the shame of her sister Leah when Yaakov was going to marry her and Lavan instead changed her around with Leah. She gave over the simonim, the signs, to Yaakov to save, to conceal her from her, from her shame. Now it's interesting to note that the antithesis to the Lashon Hara is that of being concealed, because Lashon Hara the Maral always refers to as Gilui Sod, when you reveal something you shouldn't be revealing. You know something about a person that's not so good. Alright, so keep quiet. No, you reveal it to others that you shouldn't be revealing it. It's the Gilui Sod. Tznius, modesty, is when you keep it to yourself. You don't talk. We find this was the power of Esther, concealment, and actually we find this is what took place here. Because the Gemara brings, how do we know that she was this type? So it brings from the Megillah, Ein Esther Magedis Malarato Vesamorka Shetzivo Lehomotkai. Mordechai, after she was taken by the king, Mordechai instructed her not to reveal where she comes from. Because had Ahasuerus known where she comes from, she was from a descendant from King Shaul, so then surely he would have kept her. Mordechai was hoping that he would think she's a no one, and therefore he would send her away. On the other hand, though, the Gemara tells us that Ahasuerus wanted very much to know who she is, and he was trying to convince her and seduce her in every possible way that she should say who she is, and he was promising her all types of gifts and lavish jewelry and whatnot. So there was enormous pressure on Esther, yet Esther wouldn't talk. On the other hand, we find also Shlomo HaMelech said, just like he said, Amovis b'yad haloshon, that death is in the hands of the tongue. He also said, Hamomis b'hachayim b'yad haloshon, death and life is in the hands of the tongue. Loshon hara, that power, the tongue has two powers. It has the power of total evil, and it has the power of total good. We find that Esther used her tongue for total good also. It states in the Megillah, it says that was Kotza Bikson Viserish, Shnei Shemriya Saf, there were two servants of the king that became angry with him, and they plotted to assassinate him. Vayvoda Adova leMordechai, and it was known to Mordechai, Vayaged leEsther, and he told Esther, and Esther, Vatomer Esther laMelech b'shem Mordechai, and Esther told it to the king in the name of Mordechai. This played a very great role in the Gula, in the redemption. Because as things started to unravel, this is where the king realized that Mordechai saved his life, and then he, with Haman and so on. And the Mishnah brings him a Masechta Omer, Kol Ha'Emor Dover B'Shem HaEmrei, Mevi Gula Leilom. And it brings from here that when you say over something in the name of a person, if it's a good thing, you can bring geula, you help bring redemption to the world. So this was Esther. Now the Gemara comes to Mordechai. It says, where do we find Mordechai? So it brings from the Besomim, Reish, Moridichai, from the incense, and the Rosh. He was the head of the incense. And here the Manal explains. Well, we would see two things. Firstly, in general, the perfumes and the spices, the Reach Tov, a good scent, this referred to the tzaddikim, to the righteous. From the fact that he was Rosh, Mordechai, well, this spoke about his tzidkus, his righteousness. From the fact that he was it refers to him as a Rosh, as the head, and he was the head of the Sanhedrin and Anshei Knesset Gedola, this speaks of his great power of Torah. Mordechai was from the Gedolei Ador, he was the leader of generation in Torah. Now Torah is just the opposite of this tree, as we mentioned. There were two trees. There was the Eitz Hadas Tevara, this tree of knowledge, and the Eitz HaChaim B'Sei HaGan, the tree of life. The tree of life represented Torah. This was the source of creation, of life. Creation is life. Death is the antithesis of creation. This was the other tree, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it to have any part of this world. And Mordechai, having this power of Torah, he would have been the power that could have neutralized and overpowered Haman, who came, brought his source. His source was generated from the Eitz Hadas, which was the tree of death. And in the Ketores, and in incense in general, we find two things. First of all, we find that the Ketores was used as a Sam Chaim. It was used for life. Where do we see this? Rashi brings from the Medrash that by the Egel Azor, the golden calf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a magefa, a plague that was killing the people. Aaron learned a secret. He learned that if you bring out the Keteris, the incense, and you offer the incense to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that can stop the Malach HaMavos. And this was done also when it came to Korach, the Adosai. And then there's something else about the incense. The Ketores was brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the most holy of holies, in the Beis HaMikdash, one day of the year, and that was the day of Yom Kippur, and that was by the Kohen Godel. No one else could go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim except the Kohen Godel and except on Yom HaKippurim. And what was its purpose? Its purpose was the same. Because Yom Kippur was the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave atonement for the golden calf. Moshe Rabbeinu stayed up on the mountain until the last of the 40 days, which was Yom Kippur. And every Yom Kippur we are atoned for that, and that's through the Ketores, through the incense. So what do we see from here? We see that the incense had the power to destroy the Sotan, the Malach HaMavos, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael by the golden calf. It was the Sam Chaim. And it also had the power of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim represented something which was beyond this world. Because in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was only the Orin HaKodesh and the Torah. And that was from beyond this world that wasn't part of the 7 days of creation. These were the powers of Mordechai, and this is how he was able to overpower the powers of Haman. Perhaps we could understand a bit why we say that the incense and the spices have this spiritual power, because as the Gemara that says that the power of a reach tov, of a good scent, is something which the neshama, the soul, benefits from, and not necessarily the physical body benefits from. See, here we see it has a power which is not from the physical world, but is beyond the physical world. And it's interesting to note also that you benefit from the aroma, from the scent of a good, something that smells good, through neshima, through breathing it in. And the sages tell us that the soul, Kodesh Baruch Hu put the soul in man, which came from the higher worlds. He made him from the physical material of this world, but he put a soul into man from higher worlds, Vayipach Bapo, through blowing into his nostrils. The neshama was nichnas al yedei neshima, and it's yotze al yedei neshima. When the neshama leaves the body, it also leaves through a breath. And it's through the breath, the breathing, that one has pleasure from a good scent. That's something that the neshama has pleasure from, and not necessarily the body. Now, so, what Purim was the powers of the Keach HaChaim, the power of life in the world, against the Keach HaMoves, the powers of death in the world, that stretched beyond this world. And that was Haman and Amalek, and the Eitz Hadas Tevara, and this was Mordechai ve Esther, and Mordechai's Torah that is beyond this world, and the Ketores HaShamim. Now, let me conclude with the following. There's a strange Rashi in Masech Techulin on this Gemara. Rashi brings that when we say that the source of power in Haman was from that tree, because it says Hamin ha'etz, from that tree did you eat? So Rashi adds the words Hamin ha'etz yitle ala etz. His power came from that tree. He shall be hanged by the tree. This is what Rashi adds. He shall be hanged by the tree. Now Rashi is referring to, because in many places in the Megillas Esther, it speaks about Zeresh told Haman, when he was all upset, he gets all upset over Mordechai, she said, Yase Eitz Kavaya Chamishimama, build a tree that's 50 amas high and hang Haman on it. Then it says he went and he built the Eitz Chamishimama to hang Mordechai. And then later it says that he never got a chance to hang Mordechai, but the Megillas Esther tells us that right after Esther revealed who Haman was, Ish Tzar Ve'oyev Haman Ara Hazer, this great enemy, this evil Haman, so Ahasuerus got all upset and he walked out into the garden. And when he came back, So it states, Vayomer Charvona, Echod min Asorisim. Charvona said to the king, and he was one of the Sorisim, one of his servants, Livnei HaMelech, Gam Hinei Eitz. Also, he said, the tree Asher also Homan Lamorchai, which Homan made for Mordechai, Asher Diber Tov Al HaMelech, who spoke good on the king, saved the king's life from that assassination. Omeid bebeis Haman, it stands in the house of Haman. Geveya chamishim amor, 50 amos high. Vayim haMelech telu olav, and the king said, hang him on that. And then the Megillas Esther said, Vayislu Haman, they hung Haman on the eights. So many times is mentioned that tree. So Rashi makes that analogy. Hamino eitz, he came from the tree, and he was hung on the tree. But what does that mean? He came from the tree and he was hung on the tree. It would just be opposite. The tree was a source of evil. That's what he tried to hang Mordechai on. What does it mean? He ended up being hanged on the tree. Also, we can ask another question. It keeps mentioning Chamishim Amos. Why is it so important? The Megillah was written in prophecy. It was during the time of the prophets. And it states, the Gemara says, every word you can darshan. The Gemara expounds on every word. It's from the Kisvei HaKodesh. And many things were written there, remes is brought. Many things they couldn't say openly because they were still subjects to Ahasuerus, so they had to write like in code. They keep mentioning Chamishim Amos, 50 Amos. The Maral asks another question. He says that there's no doubt that one of the most important events of the Geula, of this redemption, was the hanging of Haman on the tree. The death of the tyrant, of the great, of the evil person. So he says, how is it possible that that should come through Charvona? Charvona was a servant of the king. Fact is, Charvona is mentioned in the beginning of the Megillah Esther as one of the Rei Penei HaMelech, one of the king's cabinet, his king's council. So how is it possible that the Geula, the redemption of such an all important event, should come through Charvona? So in this, there are a number of opinions in the Chazal on this, but one opinion, which is brought in Yalkut Shimoni, of Esther Simon Tov Tov Reish Nun Tes. Yesh Omrim Ve'eser Shor Bo Eliyahu. One opinion is that this was not Chavona, but this was Eliyahu came V'ninme LeCharvona, and he disguised himself as Chavona. Omar, and he said, Adoni HaMelech, he said, my lord, the king, Yesh Eitz Echod, there is a tree. Now, he said more. He said, there's a tree, Bebeisoi, Mibeis Kodshi HaKadoshim. There's a tree that comes from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, made from the wood of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Gavaya Nun Amo, which is 50 Amos high, and Siva HaMelech Litlais Haman Olov. And the king commanded that you should hang Haman on it. Now, firstly, why should we say Charvona, all of a sudden, is Eliyahu in disguise? Well, there's a proof to it. Because Charvona's name is spelled with an Aleph. Look in the beginning of Megillas Esther. There it states Charvona, Nun Aleph, is spelled with an Aleph. Here, in this episode, it's spelled with a He. So we see that the Chazal purposely changed the letter. This was to tell us that this was not really Charvona. This was Eliyahu. And Eliyahu was disguised as Charvona. Well, what's Eliyahu mission right for? What's he mixing in for? No, he had to mix in. Because the Chazal tell us that there was another time when there was a magefa, a great plague, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu became very angry. And this was the time during Pinchas, and the Midianites, they went to do Aveda Zorah. The daughters of the Midianites started to seduce them to Aveda Zorah, to idolatry and so forth. And he brought a great plague. And it was Pinchas that saved the day. And there it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in return for what Pinchas did, he said, "You brought life to Klal Yisrael, because I brought a plague of death. You stopped it." Therefore I will give to you, I will give you my covenant of peace. And the Chazal say there in the Targum Yenison, Shalma mi malach hamovis, you will have peace from the malach hamovis. And that's why the Gemara brings us that Pinchas lived many, many years. Some say leimes, he never died. And some say that he became Eliyahu, Pinchas u Eliyahu. Whatever that means, I don't know. But he became Eliyahu, and we find that Eliyahu never died. Eliyahu just went up to heaven, but he never died. So here, when we're holding by the annihilation of Klal Yisrael, Eliyahu had an interest. He was promised that they would be shalom from the Malach HaMavis. So he wanted to do his bit against Toma. But then it's interesting, he brings in here that that the tree, at least the tree that he ended up with, Haman, had come from the base Kodesh HaKadoshim, from the base Amigdosh, and from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, 50 Amos, and this is what he ended up on, Haman, being hanged. Here we have an indication that it was that power of the Kodesh HaKadoshim that was able to be menatzeach, to overcome Haman. Because as we mentioned, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what was its purpose? Its purpose was holding the Torah. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim was only the Oren HaKodesh. And the Oren HaKodesh held the Luchais, the tablets, and the Torah. And nobody could ever go in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because that was too high. That was beyond this world. This world was made in 7 days. The Torah is always given compare it to the level of 8. For example, between the going out of Egypt, we were commanded to count 7 weeks, and in the 8th week the Torah was given. 7 weeks is 49 days, and on the 50th day the Torah was given. So here the Chazal is being meramez that what was the tree that was the downfall of Haman? Haman made a tree to destroy Mordechai and Klal Yisrael. His tree received its power from the Eitz Hadas Tevara, from the tree that brought death to the world. But in the schus of Mordechai ve Esther, Haman was overpowered and he was hanged. And that was through the tree which came from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Eitz HaChaim. There were two trees in the garden that the Torah speaks about. The Eitz HaChaim, the Seich HaGan. And that's a higher level. That's a level of 8. And Torah was given in the 8th week on the 50th day. And that's why it refers to it as Chamishim Amos, 50 Amos. And this is what Eliyahu was bringing in. Actually, one final note. After that, it states the Hamas HaMelech Shochocho, that the anger of the king settled down. The Medrash brings that because they could not write the Megillas Esther openly, like mentioned, because they were still subjects to Ahasuerus. So the Medrash brings that when it states HaMelech Ahasuerus, it refers to Ahasuerus. When it says HaMelech Stam, just the king, refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this would mean V'Hachamas HaMelech Shochocho, the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu now settled down. because Haman ended up being annihilated. This was through the power, through the squeeze, the merit of Esther and Mordechai. And the Eitz HaChaim overcame the other eights that brought death to the world. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy because this is the way he wanted to create his world to begin with. This gives us an explanation in that Gemara and Chulin and some insights into Megillas Esther. We should all be zecher to have a Freilicha Purim, and we should see from HaKadosh Baruch Hu more miracles for Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.